Sometimes you find a side hustle, and sometimes your side hustle finds you. Today, we're digging into how the one thing you never thought would work ends up being the thing that changes it all. Welcome to Side Hustle Teachers, where we believe that being a teacher doesn't mean you have to be broke or burnt out. Our mission is to help teachers like you build successful businesses so you can find financial freedom, pursue your passions, and discover the many options that exist for you beyond the classroom walls. Hey there, welcome to Side Hustle Teachers. I'm Stacey Ogden, your host, and I am so excited you're here today. Today's guest is Anne Barton Wienkant, and she is not only an extraordinary example of a side hustling teacher, she's also a member of our community, and she was one of my very first private clients when I switched over to create Side Hustle Teachers. So Anne has a very special place in my heart. And we're talking today about how she got started on her side hustle journey, how it plays into the multiple roles that she plays in her school community, and how sometimes the thing that you fight the most is what ends up being your one thing. So I know you're going to love this interview today because Anne gets really vulnerable. She gets really open about some of the things that she struggled with as an edupreneur and some of the ways that she's overcome those, including getting really creative about how to put herself out there. Now, before we jump into today's interview, I just want to take one second to say thank you to all of the listeners of the Side Hustle Teachers community. Your support and your continued listenership means so much to me. If you have not already, please take a second in whatever podcast app you're listening on to leave us a review and let other people know that we are here and that we're helpful, and that if they are a teacher looking to start a side hustle, this is the place to be. Now, I'm not going to hold you back anymore because Anne has so much goodness to share. Let's jump in. Anne, thank you so much for joining us.
Thank you for having me, Stacey. It's so much fun being here.
Oh my gosh. So before we jump in, I want you to sort of fill everyone in on what you do and what's your job and what's your business and all that good stuff.
Sure. Yeah. So I've been a teacher or had a role in a public school for, this is my 11th year, going into my 11th year. Was a teacher for 6 and then an administrator for 3. And now I'm back to a teaching coordinator role. Right now I teach ESL K through 12 and coordinate family programming for our multicultural families. I love my job. It's really great. But I'm also entering my second year of my side hustle, which is teaching educators Spanish so that they can connect with their families and do fun things like travel to Latin America over summer break.
Yeah. And how did you come up with this idea?
The idea kind of found me. I was looking for ideas. I was brainstorming what I was going to do. So at the time I was in a role that had been a decent match for me, but then some circumstances changed and I was looking for a change. And so I was just thinking about what I could do independently, trying to brainstorm ideas. Teaching Spanish was one in a long list of things, but I dismissed it pretty offhand because I was like, I don't know how to teach Spanish. I'm moving on. What else is on this list? And then what started happening is I had about 5 people in a period of 2 weeks ask me if I would teach them Spanish. And so that was enough to like make me pause and say, okay, like this is a need. People want this service. Like maybe this is worth figuring out how to teach Spanish. And so it started with like one one-on-one client. I got to kind of try things out and progress to the next thing and then the next thing. And each time I feel like I've learned more about how to help people learn Spanish in various places. And I've mainly worked with like beginners who come in with little to no background knowledge, to people who maybe took Spanish in high school and or college, but haven't like revisited it in many years. And so they're like getting back into it. And so it's been a lot of fun.
Yeah. So you were looking for possibly a way out of teaching or out of the education system?
I was looking for a way out of my administrative role. And at the time, I didn't see, my current role did not yet exist. Mm-hmm. And I just didn't see leaving education for, I knew that if I were to leave my school, like I loved my school and I couldn't imagine going to another school. So for that reason, I was like, I don't see myself like just changing districts or changing schools and like going back to something I was doing previously. Cause I really wanted to stay where I was if I was going to stay, but I was too unhappy in that particular situation. And then what happened is after I had given my notice, I was, approached by, you know, someone who had knowledge of like what roles were coming up the following year to say, hey, would any of these interest you? And the minute that they mentioned my current role, I was like, oh yes, like that. Yes. And so now I'm in it and I plan to be in it for quite some time. But I'm also enjoying my side hustle. So it's kind of been a fortuitous combination of events because I don't have all this pressure. I'm not trying to leave my job. I really mm-hmm. enjoy it. But I also have this project on the side that brings a lot of excitement and I'm learning a lot and it's very enjoyable and they both complement each other really nicely. So I'm very happy with the current situation.
Excellent. That's what we like to hear. Yeah. So when you started working with other people, who did you start working with in terms of like one-on-one clients?
My very first client is not the profile that I currently work with. He was not a teacher. He had never been a teacher. He worked in like a local business that required him to travel to Latin America a lot. And he wanted to, you know, he was going to Argentina and Brazil. So we were working on Spanish. But it kind of gave me the confidence to be like, okay, I am not as bad at this as I thought I was going to be. I can do this.
Well, I would imagine also if you start out trying to teach teachers, mm-hmm. it's a little intimidating. Mm-hmm. But if you start out, your first client is someone who's not in education, you yes. can try a few things and figure some stuff out along the way without knowing that the person you're working with is like in education.
Definitely. Yeah, I think that did help a lot. And then what happened after that, it kind of gave me like also the brain space and just like a runway to think about how I was going to help teachers learn Spanish in a way that was purposeful to them. Because the things that he needed to learn how to say were not necessarily the same things that a teacher wants to be able to say to parents, for example. And so we have a very specialized set of vocabulary that we use with parents a lot of the time, like very special purposes. You know, there aren't a lot of people other than teachers inviting parents to a field trip or telling them like about their kids' behavior during the day or like, good job, they like did really well on the test. So it's like a very specialized set of, I guess a specialized lexicon that like doesn't get taught elsewhere and that I hadn't really been taught either. And I had to figure out because when I went into teaching, I was teaching a self-contained first grade classroom in Spanish to native Spanish speakers. Their parents were native speakers and I had been quote unquote fluent going into it. But then I discovered, oh my gosh, like there are all these words I've never had to use before. Like I don't even know how to say report card in Spanish. So, like, things that I had to learn that you don't have to use if you're not a teacher.
Yeah, there's fluent and then there's fluent.
Yes. Yeah. Yep. And so after that initial client, four of my colleagues who had asked, we started a class, but it was over the summer and people were traveling. One of them had left St. Louis and moved to another city. So everyone was in different locations. So I tried something online where I would, it was like, I forget how many classes. It was something like 6 to 8 weeks. And I would pre-record the lessons, send them out. They would do them on their own time. And then we would have a live call together where we could like review and I could answer questions, et cetera. So that was like 2.0 or 1.0 if you think about it with teachers. And then at some point after that, I had another colleague ask me, but she wanted one-on-one lessons specifically. So we did that and are continuing to do that. She also got married and went on a honeymoon this summer. So we've been on a break. We're starting again this fall. That got me more practice. And then I thought, okay, I liked the group dynamic, but being online was, there were a lot of challenges to doing it online that, I think it's possible. I just am not ready to do that yet. There are a lot of things that I still have to learn to do that well. And so I decided I wanted to do an in-person class. So I held just a workshop for people to come and get their feet wet and then posed the idea of a group class. And almost everyone at the workshop said that they wanted to do it. So then we had an 8-week in-person class from, I want to say it was January to March. And it was so fun. It was so fun. There were 10 people in the class. Most of them already knew each other because they were at the same school, but everyone was in our same district. So everyone had some sort of knowledge of each other. So it created this really, really fun dynamic. And we would go to like happy hours, like Spanish happy hours. We did a couple of like field trips. The art museum does free docented tours. And so I called and they had a Spanish speaking docent. So we did like a Spanish tour of the art museum there. It was just so much fun to do it in person. So I want to do that again. But, and then at the end of that, I had someone else request one-on-one lessons. So we've been working through the summer one-on-one. So it's just been a mix and of approaches, and each time I've learned something really valuable so that the next time I can do even better for people.
I love this sort of evolution that you've got, that it just sort of, you were looking for something and you completely dismissed teaching Spanish out of hand, and that somehow it just came up that, you know, sometimes we have to be, you know, like beat over the head that this is for us. Yeah. but even using your experience from when you were a new teacher and teaching in this setting in Spanish speaking classroom, of figuring out, oh, I don't know these words that I need to know. I think even that experience really set you up to do what you're doing right now. It's amazing how all of these roads sort of converge.
Absolutely. Yeah. I feel like where I am right now is just like the culmination of where I've been going for the last, even before I started teaching and was on my like Spanish journey. Yeah. I feel like I'm right where I'm supposed to be. And it's so much fun.
And are you finding that your business is helping you in your education role too?
Oh, yes. Well, let's see. Well, I think it's a mutual process. Like my day job is helping me in the side business, and the business is helping me in my day job. I get to continue to speak my Spanish with my families and like constantly learn, not just about the language, but about, what's important to them and what have their past experiences been like, and how can teachers, not just myself, but how can my Spanish students, what can they do to help families have a better experience? And then they get empowered to do that. And so there is just a definite like cycle of learning where I learn and get to pass that learning on to others who can then change the experience of families and schools. And then what was the other direction from my business to my day job? Yeah, I would say that like in my business, there's so many ways that I have to be creative, and just, I get to decide, oh, like this is my business. So I get to decide how this is. So how do I want it? How am I going to design this? Because no one is telling me what to do. And that has helped me in my position a lot, because while I have a boss and there's like, there are structures in place. I'm founding the position because it hasn't existed in our schools before. So it is like a lot of practice for me to be like, okay, what should our program look like? What do I want it to look like? What is like the exemplar? And like, let me do those things rather than constantly worrying about what am I supposed to do? I get to say, what should I do? Let me do that. So it's really cool.
Yeah. Isn't that a fun position to be in?
Yes. Yeah. It's awesome.
One of the fun things about being a music teacher is that you very rarely walk into a classroom that has a curriculum written for you.
Yeah.
So every position I've ever taken has been, okay, well, you get to design this to be the way you want it to be, which has really helped me in business. But I understand how other teachers who don't have that experience, that can be intimidating for them because they're so used to following the plan, the curriculum that somebody else has handed them.
Yes.
So that's definitely, and I love how that your business, the deciding that this is my business, so I can do what I want to do. I don't want to do that. I don't have to do that. And, you know, being able to translate that into your new position is a really cool overlap.
Yeah. It's been really good to just get practice and experience with that mindset, because I think you're right. It can be very intimidating if you're not used to it, but once you kind of own that, it's also very freeing and so fun.
Yeah. So what are some of the things you think you've done this year as an educator that you don't think you would have done if you had hadn't had a business on the side?
Oh, that's such a good question. The first thing that comes to mind is I piloted this last year. So we just did it one time, but we're going to do 4 events like this coming year, where I'm thinking in terms of language exchange a lot more, because it made me realize how I got to this, and I'll tell you what this is in a second. And it's not just my teachers, but it's really, I think anyone learning a new language, speaking with a native speaker of that language is incredibly intimidating. And so that's where a lot of people stop, because they're afraid for whatever reason that they're going to offend the other person. They're going to say something wrong. They're going to make a fool of themselves. And so they don't do it, but then there's no way that they can move forward if they don't. And so my teachers were shy to talk to our parents. But then I also learned from talking to parents that, especially our moms, because in at least our families, the dads are much more likely to go and get a job that's out functioning in the broader community. And so they are forced to learn and speak English a little bit more. Whereas the moms are more likely to take a job that does not force them to speak English, where they might be taking care of people's kids. They might be going in and doing like home cleaning, or just at home taking care of their kids. And none of those jobs really forced them to have those English conversations, but they wanted to. But, you know, just like my teachers, they were very shy about it. So it became apparent to me there are these 2 groups that want to talk to each other, but they're so shy, but they're not talking to each other because they have all of these fears. So we're doing these events called Bilingual Bites Potlucks. So everyone brings a dish, and half of the dinner is in English and half of the dinner is in Spanish. So everyone is there to learn and everyone is there to teach. So while it doesn't totally eliminate the fears, it kind of assuages them, because I know that even though I might be making a fool of myself right now, you're about to make a fool of yourself too, and that's okay. And like, you're teaching me right now and you seem like the expert, but in a minute I get to be the expert too and teach you. So that's something I definitely wouldn't have done if I hadn't been doing my side business.
I love that. I love that. And I love stories when people or teachers who have businesses end up elevating the whole community because they're willing to take the risks. You know, putting yourself out there to start a business is not easy. It's like speaking to a native speaker.
Yeah.
It's like that awkward, I could make a total fool of myself. But being able to use that in so many creative ways is such a gift to your community.
And it's very rewarding and very enjoyable. And the whole thing is a learning process. So yeah.
So where do you see this going, your side hustle?
So I'm currently, at the time of recording this, working on a few things. I'm going to run at least, well, this year I'd like to run a fall semester in-person class and a spring semester in-person class. So I'd like to keep doing that because it was so enjoyable. The relationships that we formed were so fun, and I think that's really just the best way for people to learn. But I'm also working on creating an online platform that's like a membership site. So rather than an online course where I'm going from lesson 1, 2, 3, 4, it's more like a video library where I have a random question and I'm like, wait, what, why is this way? Or like, how do I say this thing? Let me go and like, just have like a 2-minute video that answers my question. So I'm working on that. That will most likely be opening up in the new year, or in January, January 2020. And so that's where I'd like for that to go. And then people, that would be kind of like a subscription payment model where it's similar to Netflix, where I just like pay this low fee, like every month, to have access to this resource that answers my questions for me. Let me think. So with the in-person classes, the evolution that I would like to see and that I'm working on currently is to have school districts pay for these classes as PD for their teachers, rather than teachers paying out of pocket to take these classes. Because I think it's very clear that teachers learning Spanish, even if it's basic Spanish, has huge benefits for their school community. So that's what I'm working on right now. And there is one district in particular that I am looking at and communicating with to try and get that going. And that's where I would like it to go. I mean, it's hard for me to talk about further than that because that would be a huge, huge development and it would make me really happy.
Yeah, that would be amazing.
Yeah.
Yeah. So yeah, I'm really glad to hear about all these things that you've got looking forward to.
Yes, me too. Me too, yeah.
This year, how did you decide what to tweak from last year to this year?
Calendar year or like school year?
Your choice.
Let's see. So, I think going from the online class to the in-person class, that was a really clear switch for me, kind of like how Spanish found me. Doing the in-person class also found me too, where I started doing the online class because my mind was primarily in making this convenient for people. And so online made the most sense. And, you know, logistically, if we were doing it over the summer and people were not going to be all in the same place. And I also did it with a smaller group. So it was a group of about 4 people. And then we did these online or these live calls to answer questions. But with 4 people, as I'm sure you know, there's not 100% attendance almost any of the time.
Right.
And so if even one person is missing or 2 people are missing, it's kind of like, it feels like a flop. Like there are 2 people there, but then they only have each other to interact with. So you don't get the same liveliness that you get with more people. Mm-hmm. So I knew that I wanted more personal interaction. I wanted them to be able to interact with each other more and for me to be able to interact with them more. So I knew that in-person was the way that I needed to go and that I needed to be okay with, like you said, making a fool of myself to get more people. Because to get more people, I had to actually tell people that I was doing it.
Yes.
with the 4 people, I only did it with people who asked me. And now I had to be like, hey, I'm doing this. Does anyone else want to join? And that was really scary. And I told them actually when I did this workshop before the class, it was all of my colleagues who came. And I actually told them like, I didn't want to do this with any of my own colleagues. I wanted to do this with strangers so that if I did make a fool of myself, you guys wouldn't know. And I could go back to work and be dignified and no one would have any idea what a flat was. And their reaction from them, from my telling them that, was just so reassuring. And I think gave me a lot of confidence to do the class after that. One person in particular was like, "Oh, Anne, we're family. You can make a fool of yourself. We'll still love you. We're here and we're in this together." So that was just a huge weight off my shoulder. And I got to realize, oh, just like before when I was like, this is your business, you get to make it what you want. That was the moment where I was like, oh, my business can be fun. Like, I can have fun doing this. I don't have to be stressed and like worried and, you know, doing the moves people say you are supposed to do. Like, I get to just be myself and have a good time with other teachers. Yeah.
So I want to go back though, because that's something that so many people struggle with, is actually talking about their business with people that they know and putting themselves out there as saying, I have a skill that I can help you with, or I have a product that can help you with something, without feeling smarmy and salesy. And so how did you sort of, you know, take that deep breath and just go for it?
Oh my gosh. I will tell you, and I will also say that I still struggle with it. Like, it still makes me so nervous. And now I have like a larger group of people who know what I'm doing and I'm comfortable talking with them about it. But then like, not everyone still knows and it's still so nerve-wracking. But with the group of people that I knew, like telling them that first time, what I ended up doing, my strategy was, is I thought of like, who do I know who knows other teachers? Because I'm not trying to get at them. I want to get at other teachers. And so I'll write them an email and I'll ask them, you know, I'll tell them I'm doing this and ask them, is anyone in your master's program interested in learning Spanish? Do you think anyone at your like previous Head Start like would be interested in learning Spanish? Could you like pass this word on to them? I don't know if anyone passed on the word, but they were like, oh, I want to do it. And that was actually really cool, because the teachers that I emailed, I actually didn't know at all that they would want to learn Spanish. I didn't know that was an interest of theirs. And so then they started talking with like their grade level, and then the rest of the grade level joined. And that was another like reassuring moment where I'm like, okay, like there are people who actually want to do this. I'm not like bothering people. And again, like it's still nerve-wracking for me, but like step by step by step, I'm seeking to put myself out there more.
Yeah, it is. It's never goes away. The intimidation really never goes away. But I think it was funny because I was watching a Comedians in Cars Getting Coffee.
Yes.
And it was the episode with Eddie Murphy. And he said something that really struck me. And he was talking about the fact that every time he got on stage and he didn't feel nervous at all, he did horribly. And he's like, you need that sense of, you know, that energy, that anxiety, those nerves to really hit it out of the park. And I was like, oh my gosh, that's so true. If you're going to do anything great, you should feel nervous about it.
That's very reassuring to hear, actually. yeah, that is, because a lot. So I also have a Facebook group for not just teachers who took my class, but there are other people who have joined, and some people have just found the group, which is really cool to be like, oh, who are you in Mississippi? That's awesome. and like get to know them a little bit more. And so I post in that group all the time, and it feels like a very safe space because I know everyone there knows what's going on, and like they are there to learn Spanish. And then I have realized more and more, like, you have to start putting stuff on your personal Facebook, like profile, because there are probably other people you know that would want to do this. and you're missing them. And that is very, very difficult for me. And I recently posted a question on it targeted to, like, my friends who are, like, wanting to learn Spanish. And that was, like, a first step for me. And I'm hoping to follow up with that. But it was, I'm taking soft steps to get some comfort with that.
yeah. Yeah. And you don't have to do it in like even, hey, join my program sort of way. You can always do it in, I'm creating this bank, this library of questions that people want answered.
Yeah.
What is a question that you would want answered if you, you know, needed this particular, you know, you needed to be able to address this in Spanish, or, you know, a parent asked you this and you didn't know what they were talking about, or, you know, you can crowdsource and at the same time raise awareness of your program.
Yes. Yeah, absolutely. I think that's the direction I'm going to go in. My most recently posted about like, what are your biggest fears about talking with native Spanish speakers? Little by little.
Little by little. And I love the strategy that you had to begin with, which was email your friends and ask them if they knew anyone.
Yeah. Yeah. That felt a lot safer and had a different result than what I thought, but it ended up being a great result.
Yeah, absolutely. And that just goes to show you just never know. Like, we can assume that people are not interested in what we're offering, but honestly, you never know.
Yeah, it's very true. And then once we started the class, I had people in the class who were like, oh, did you talk to so-and-so about this? Because she was like, oh, I should be in that class. And I was like, no, I didn't talk to so-and-so about this. Yeah, so it's a good reminder.
Yeah. Do you feel like having it in person is going to limit the number of people that you can reach?
I think it will in the long term. So I'm going to, in the long term, probably keep the in-person, but branch out from that so that I can reach more people. For right now,
only so many hours in the day, right?
yeah, exactly. And I think for now, I'm happy with the in-person because I'm getting so much out of it still. And there's still so many more people in the city that I haven't reached. So in the long term, I'd like to have not just the membership site, but like an online course where people can still have some interaction with each other, so that people who live in California, for example, I'm not in California, there's no way that I'm going to be able to give them an in-person class.
Yeah, that would be a hell of a commute.
Yeah, I think everyone is too tired at the end of school day for that. So I would like an online option in the future. Just in-person right now is setting me up, I think, to be able to do that better for people than I did the first time around.
Yeah. Well, yeah. And it's a big shift to do, to go from in-person working with people, even as an educator and then as a business person, to then having to shift it online and still try to create that same community and, you know, the end user experience. You still want to be the same.
Right.
So I think it's great that you're giving yourself the time and space to figure that out.
Yeah. And you know, another piece to the online that I need to figure out is a benefit I didn't think about with the in-person is that there's more like soft accountability. So when people are taking a class and they know other people are expecting to see them at the class, they're more likely to show up at the class. Whereas when people are doing it independently online, I think there has to be some sort of structure or incentive in place so that people are rewarded for staying engaged, because life is busy, especially life as a teacher. And it's very easy to put our own goals and our own priorities on the side to take care of the day-to-day things. So that's something that I haven't figured out yet either, but it's a great benefit of the in-person that I want to transfer online eventually, but don't yet know how.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, they say, and it's not just teachers, at the population at large, 75% of courses go unfinished.
Yeah. And you know, that's a thing where I feel like as teachers, we're really well positioned to think about, especially if we have a business that's around teaching someone to do something, whether it's Spanish or something else, to think differently about it than someone who's approaching business who's not a teacher. Because I imagine that most people who do an online course want people to finish the course. They want people to learn the thing that they're teaching. But you know, at the end of the day, like if you've got money in your pocket, I don't know how much incentive there is to figure that out, or how many tools you have if you don't have a teaching background to find a solution to that. And I think teachers are uniquely positioned. Like, it's just like a personal affront to me. I'm just like, I'm not going to do an online course that people are not going to learn something from, because that's who I am. I'm a teacher. People learn when right. they're with me. And so it's not, I would not feel content to just be making, you know, money from payments, knowing that I'm having no impact. So I have to figure out that piece, because otherwise the business doesn't mean anything if people
right.
don't. Yeah.
Right. Yeah. And if you do, I'm sure there's lots of people who would like to know how you figured that out.
Yeah. There you go. Teach a side hustle.
A side hustle for your side hustle. Yeah. So, okay. So how can people find you, for those people who are in the St. Louis area, and also people who just want to see what you're doing and how you're making it happen?
Yeah, sure. So I have a website, which you very kindly directed me and guided me to doing. That website is mybilingualheart.com. And I have a blog on that website, in addition to some resources that are already available to people no matter where they are, depending on, you know, what skills they want to work on with their Spanish. So that's mybilingualheart.com.
And you have a 5-day challenge, right?
I do. I have a 5-day challenge, and it's, thank you, it's launching August 26th. But at that point on, people can sign up at any moment in time. They can sign up, you know, March 8th if they want to, and it'll just be running from that point so that they can get, they can benefit from the 5-day challenge, which is challenging people to actually speak to other people, no matter whether they are a super, super baby beginner or if they are advanced. No matter where they are on the spectrum, there will be an avenue for them to actually get out and like speak Spanish with people for 5 days. And the Facebook group is called Spanish Help for Committed Teachers. And so that's a free group that anyone can join. And we would love to have you in it if you're thinking of speaking Spanish. And it's also open to native Spanish speakers who want to help teachers practice and learn their Spanish.
Excellent. I love that.
Yes. We've had two people connect. There's someone who joined actually who lives in Colombia who wants to practice her English. So she and one of my teachers connected to have a conversation and help each other with their opposite language. So that was really cool. And I hope to facilitate more of that happening.
Yeah.
And otherwise, my email is Anne with an E, A-N-N-E, at mybilingualheart.com.
Awesome. Well, thank you so much for joining us. I'm so excited about your business. I think it's something that's so helpful, and I love how creative you're getting with it.
Thanks so much. I'm very excited too. It's so great.
All right. Well, we will definitely have to stay in touch.
I'm good. I would love that.
Thank you so much for taking the time to listen today. I know that you're busy and your time is precious, so I truly appreciate you spending some of it with me. If you like what you're hearing, you can support Side Hustle Teachers in 3 ways. Leave us a review on iTunes or Apple Podcasts. Reviews help Apple know we're here and we're helpful so more people can find us. You can share the show with friends and family. Did you know that podcast listenership is growing every single year? And a lot of that is because of recommendations from people just like you. And lastly, join our community. You can find Side Hustle Teachers on all the major social platforms, and we have a very active, engaged Facebook group. Join us! All the cool kids are doing it! In the meantime, I hope you have a wonderful week, and until next time, take care.